Talk to Giddy. They're getting less imaginative every day.
They are. But hey, we'll crack one. I'll sort some proper intro at some point.
Yeah, we've got to work on that. I'm sorry. This came out. It's like Tourette's.
Welcome to episode 4 of Talk TKD. We hope you're all well and kicking and listening. Few things to talk about. First, Saturday I went to Super Fight Series. Definitely best domestic show that I've ever been to. The presentation was amazing. It went off without a hitch. It was, and all my days, the fights. I think they're only like, from the fights that I saw, I got there about, I can't remember, 6:30, something like that, 7 maybe. From the fights that I saw, only like 2 or 3 went the distance. The rest were all knockouts. And spectacular ones as well. Head kick knockouts, big overhand right knockouts. The skill level was brilliant. Everyone was, deserved to be there, most definitely. There were no boring fights. There were no mismatches. There were, the knockouts that came early, like, they were because they were good shots. It wasn't that anyone was getting beaten on because it was a mismatch. It was a wicked show, and I can't wait for episode 2. You can keep up to date if you go to Super Fight Series. If you Google them, you can find them on Facebook, and they've got their website. Keep up to date when their shows are. Honestly, I had an absolute whale of time. I was on a table, so I could. To the right of me was the ring. In front of me was like the sort of walkout bar, and then where they walk in. It was awesome, absolutely awesome. True Warrior. Warriorforlife.co.uk, fantastic sparring equipment, dough box, lots of equipment for you to check out. You just need to, as I said, go to warriorforlife.co.uk. I am also pleased to announce we have a new sponsor.
Ooh!
Or a new partner, should I say, snapmehappy.co.uk. Snap Me Happy are event photographers that specialise in martial arts. I'm doing one soon. Basically, if you're an instructor, it's perfect. It's an absolute dream. You just go to snapmehappy.co.uk, fill in their booking form so that they do like seminars, talk. If you've got tournaments or like a big event, something like that, then they can do that. But they also do club visits. And what you can do is if you go to snapmehappy.co.uk, go to the booking form, tell them literally exactly when you want to have your event. You tell them whether it's just a club photo shoot or, an event, a tournament, and they will contact you back about the details. If it's something like an event, like a tournament or a club photo shoot, not only is it free, for you to book them, for them to come and take the photos, but the event organizer can actually make money from doing it. So it's perfect. That's why it's ideal. They'll come down, take the photos. You can have a look. There's absolutely no obligation to buy any of the photos. They can print them out there and then, and you have something nice to take away, or you can just go back through the photos on the website, you students look through back through, or the competitors or the people who went to the seminar, whatever it is, look back through the photos, pick the ones they want, and they do like really cool like backgrounds and stuff like that, and they can like merge a couple of photos together. Really cool stuff. I think like A5 or A4 or something like that is like a tenner or something like that. And they'll send it through to you. You just need to make sure when you go to snapmehappy.co.uk where it says, where did you hear about us? Please put Talk TKD. Okay, so they know that they found out about them through us. Anyway. Moving swiftly on, Mr. Whitlock,
Well, what's new in us? We had our squad training yesterday.
We did,
and it's the penultimate one before the World Championships.
Well, we've got one next week.
Penultimate, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Me and my fancy lingo.
Oh, I know. He's quick for me. He's quick.
Yeah. And I just want to mention Top 10 and Bitomic for providing us a kit for the England team.
Yeah, we've got... So those Top 10 bags are amazing. I've just been putting some of my equipment in it now.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Yeah, loads of space. They're really sturdy bags. But yes, they went... Bitomic and Top 10 basically went halves to kit out the whole of the England squad. The coaches, everyone with bags and some T-shirts and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you, Bitomic.
Yeah.
Big shout out to them.
It's very insightful. I think people who kind of just train on a regular basis, just do their kind of club or school training, should pop along to a squad session if they're, you know, open doors, and see what, like, the difference is between you know, kind of club tournament training and, you know, the high-end squad training. So yesterday we were using like bungee cords, you know, strapping it to our legs and using resistance bands for that, and, you know, it's kind of very scientific. We have like physios there, we have
analysis,
yeah, it's all becoming very professional nowadays. So
definitely, and yeah, something like obviously different associations will have different setups. But yeah, if you're kind of a club level person and your association has a squad training or you know, more than sort of broader training schedule for people to come on and spar and stuff like that, it is like, really do go for it. Definitely. I mean, well, imagine if we never bothered starting doing some squad training.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be sat here doing this probably.
No. No. We also have a fitness coach as well, a personal trainer by day. And, you know, he's given us all specific, generic to our categories, training programs. And, it's interesting kind of the type of training we do and how it differs from class training, where it's kind of all technique and, you know, becoming very scientific nowadays for top end stuff.
This is, I think, where sports science is advancing lots over the last 10-20 years. I think the standard is becoming higher, and just the knowledge and the necessity of good strength and conditioning. You know, you can have all the skill, because at the end of the day, high level competition, most of the people there's not going to be that much variant in skill level. You know, there may be a bit, you get the odd freaks, Barado, Tapalatu, etc., that are phenomenal, but the majority of the time the skill level is, you know, very little, and actually it's the strength and conditioning that can make those big differences. And and actually something that the you know, the sort of legends of competitors, that they one of the keys, I think, possibly to their success is the regularity of their strength and conditioning, and, you know, making sure they're fit and healthy and peaking at the right times and stuff like that. And, and stuff that, you know, most people kind of know about and have heard, but don't really understand how to do it or implement it, etc. And so, yeah, if those options are there open to you, I strongly suggest that you jump upon them, take advantage,
because
get out there.
Yeah, it's interesting whether kind of Miss Anderson is the fitness coach in question, the personal trainer, and he runs a taekwondo school as well, which has the likes of Zach Espy, Matt Cadle, and Shane O'Rourke and stuff. And I was talking to them about what they do. Kind of, it's very much a competition class. That's kind of all they do. It's very kind of elite. And they kind of have their off season, so they take Christmas out to, you know, let their body recover, and then they kind of focus on one or two competitions per year, and they kind of, you know, spend the rest of the weekends just kind of doing tournaments and, you know, using it as a kind of dojang.
That's interesting, actually. So they basically create themselves a season.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is actually some. I think, like, taekwondo is difficult because there is no season, and there's always you know, you can compete around the year.
Yeah.
And the temptation is to do that. Or, you know, and you think a big competition comes on, and you think, oh yeah, I want to do that. You get fit for that, and then you do that, and then another one comes on, and you're like, oh, I really want to do that one as well. And whereas some more traditional sports like rugby, football, etc., they have their season, they have their set off season, they have those rest periods, they have those times before the season, they get fit, etc. And I think an important aspect of having a long, successful taekwondo career, whether it's competing or not, is to make sure that you put in those rest periods and almost create yourself a season. Give yourself, you know, two couple of months or something like that to recover. Let your body, you know, fix itself. And look at the long term. Definitely. I mean, I've learned this very much the hard way. I ragged my body pretty much for a few years in my early 20s, and now I can't do that because of the amount of sort of excess of training, because I think I've mentioned that before.
Yeah, I talked about that last week, weren't we?
Yeah, and so maybe think about, you know, the competitors, although even non-competitors, things like gradings and stuff like that, you know, make sure you manage your time and your body correctly. And if you're not sure how to do that, obviously go to your instructor, go to your coaches, go to the people that have been there and done that, and have made the mistakes and learn from them.
Or even non-professional, like non-taekwondo people, like personal trainers and fitness professionals.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
The WTF World Championships have been going on. I think England have had at least one gold medal, I think.
Yeah, we had Bianca.
Yeah, Bianca Walkden.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
world champion. Congratulations, Bianca.
Yeah, if you're listening.
Doubt it. But if you are, share. That's brilliant. And, you know, ITF, WTF, karate, tangsu, whatever, I don't care. It's nice to see people from England and doing well and, you know, competing at the highest level and showing true British grit and determination, etc. So that's fantastic for it. And I believe North Korean ITF did a demonstration at the WTF World Championships to kind of show some unity. I didn't watch it. Did you catch it?
I did. It was very impressive, as always. Mm. Very impressive. but it's very interesting politically. It's very interesting politically, showing the kind of bonds between ITF and WTF. Seeing how that's kind of developing. Sorry, I'm having a bit of a coughing fit at the moment. I haven't been very well this week. So
he hasn't been well, so no. I'm having a shower after this because I will not get ill before the world.
Yeah.
I'm in lockdown quarantine. Keep your germs to yourself.
Yeah.
But yes, as you were talking about the ITF and WTF and politically where it is and stuff like that, it is interesting. Obviously, it's the other ITF that we're in, but I think, you know, some ground's been broken is a good thing. It's better than breaking away and stuff like that. Showing some unity in taekwondo. Obviously, there's a talk of the sort of unification of the two. It's sort of, it's weird, really. I mean, they're two, you know, pretty much different martial arts at this point. So, it's interesting, sort of see which of the sort of ITF fighters that will try their hand at the WTF But if you're going to do that, you know, to be at that elite level and be able to compete against their most elite, then they're going to have to train full time in WTF Taekwondo. So is that a unification of ITF and WTF, or is it just ITF people going over to WTF?
I think it could happen on a competition basis, definitely. But not, I don't think it could happen like traditionally, you know, so they've got their Pumse, we've got our Tulls. And I can't see them merging together. But definitely for a competition, you can have two different classes in the
competition. Two different categories.
That's true. Yeah, you can have WTF class and ITF class, just with their different competition rules and stuff like that. That could work.
That's true.
Yeah, I could see that happening in the future. But I think there definitely will be a separation for many years to come. There's too many stubborn traditionalists and... Well, I say stubborn traditionalists, it's what they know, really.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's the same as having two tournaments, though, in the same building, because, you know, how will it work with Olympics? Will, do you know what I mean? Because I think it's probably out of the WTF's control for the IO, you know, to go to the IOC and say, oh yeah, by the way, we're going to add extra events to the Olympics.
Well, it's a change of, it's just changed to, it's a bit like cycling. They introduced the Madison into cycling, you know, a new event in that, and, you know, they embrace that. I could definitely see it working. It's a bit like, you know, you go to, say, WKU competitions, you have like the points fighters, the full contact fighters, stuff like that. I think just having
true, but kickboxing is not in the Olympics.
No.
Yeah, like.
Well, a bit like rowing, maybe you have the fours, the crossfit fours, the eights, the twos, the ones. You know, I could see what happening.
Yeah, I don't know, but there's something for me that I think it's different because it's a combat sport, a lesser known combat sport, and I don't know, maybe it would be great if there was, it, like, what would be amazing, like, my ideal situation would be the Olympics take on, like, an ITF sect, and then all of the ITFs kind of go, okay, we've got this massive opportunity to have our best guys on the world stage promote Taekwondo, etc., and just to, like, okay, let's just have, I don't know how it would work, though, because you'd have to have each country to kind of unite, you know, the ITS to kind of, well, I mean, I guess that would be like a condition to say, look, you know, this is the, you know, you've got this ITF, if any of you want to go to the Olympics, you have to combine and pick and send a squad. But then, you know, how that squad selected and the bias and that, etc., would probably, you know, be a bit troublesome. But would it be worth it? I don't know. I think it would.
I could see, you know, if it does happen, if I can't see it happening in the distant future.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a
lovely fantasy dream.
I know. But yeah, I could definitely see if the bond strengthens. So, you know, if there's kind of a crossover slightly, I can see a lot of people flocking towards that ITF.
Yeah.
For the competitions, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if there's a chance of the Olympics. I'm sure, you know, a lot of competitors would love that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. It's a big one. Time will tell.
Mm.
We will see. But... yeah, it would be nice. Events. There is the dates and times are now out. You can now book yourself onto the Jaroslav Suska seminar. They have two. So this is two strong promotions are promoting Jaroslav Suska. If you don't know who he is, do you even do Taekwondo? How have you come to this podcast? I don't understand. No, I'm joking. But Google him. He's a 6-time world champion, 20-time European champion. It's Jaroslav Suska. It's John Sosiska. He's coming to the UK to do a seminar.
The most successful Taekwondo competitor of all time.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you've got an opportunity, even if you are a yellow stripe, ninth cup, you can come and train with the most successful Taekwondo competitor in the world ever. He is in Northampton on Saturday, the 20th of June. Colour belts will be 10:30 to 12:30, and that is £30. Black belts would be 1:30 PM till 4:30 PM on Saturday, the 20th of June, and that is £35. That one is being hosted by Pro Action Martial Arts, Mr. Tom Nicholson. If you can find them on Facebook or Google them, it's Pro Action Martial Arts, and you can book through them. I did it last year. It was amazing. Very much worthwhile the money. Siska did a kicking demo, and I was stood there because he kind of looked around for pick the tallest guy like he sometimes does. And I stood there, and he did hook kick, turning kick in slow motion on one leg, and his foot every time it touched my facial hair, but not my face. One, two. It was astounding.
And he's a very small guy as well.
Yeah.
Perfect pattern build.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. But he does some, like the last one I did, he did some patterns work and a lot of like kicking drills and stuff like that. It was brilliant. The next day, on Sunday the 21st of June, he is in London with Paltich Taekwondo hosting. Again, colour belts 10:30 to 12:30, black belts 1:30 to 4:30, and £30 and £35 respectively. That's in Kenton in London. Again, if you contact Paltich Taekwondo in Facebook, internet, etc., he's very easy to get hold of, and you can book through them. Check them out. That's exciting. 20th of June, 21st of June. You free?
21st of June, I should be. Yeah, I'll make it free, definitely.
Yeah, I think we'll try.
If it's not free, we'll make it free.
Yeah, definitely. You can't miss up on an opportunity like that. Yeah. Last year they had Suska and Katia Solovey over as well. I was injured or ill for the Katia seminar, but I went up and watched, and it was really good. It looked like a lot of fun. So, stay tuned for details on that. But 1 week.
1 week.
We fly out to Italy a week today for the World Championships. You excited?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to getting there and getting it on. Must admit, I'm, butterflies have started going already.
Yeah. Starting to feel them a bit.
Yeah, but it's exciting. It's always good fun, and it's always a good atmosphere there, so
definitely. This is the thing, yeah. No matter what the results, no matter what happens, it's going to be a good trip. It always is. There's something different and great about sort of traveling, like as a sports team. Whether it's martial arts, taekwondo, or football, rugby, etc. There's something unique, different, and special about putting the sort of blood, sweat and tears and time in with those people, and then traveling and just having that bond, and you're all there for the same goal. It's very unifying and very just nice. It's just nice. And then obviously after the tournament's over, the kind of the rivalries die down and everyone has a good time, and just get
to sit.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a pookie down. Definitely.
Yeah.
Get my Bay City Rollers. This city was born on Taekwondo.
They built this city. They built this city on Taekwondo.
There we go. Watch out, Italy. We're coming with our moves.
Yeah.
Some of them Taekwondo, some of them flashy. but no, it's always a good time. It's always always worthwhile, the turmoil and the injuries and the The tiredness and the soreness, etc. It's always worth it when you're there doing it. You know, there's nothing like it, and always come away feeling sort of positively charged and feeling good about Taekwondo and about me and stuff like that. Definitely something that is kind of a unique experience for me at the moment that I can discuss is that I have for the first time 3 students that are coming up for their first black belt grading. So it'll be the first time for me that I would had students go through the ranks and grade for me to black belt. I've been running the school for 6 years, which just goes to show that we have standards and you have to work hard for your belts. I've had, some of them been a black stripe for, I don't know, can't remember, 18 months, something like that, more than that.
Couple of years, I think.
Yeah, a couple of years, I think, yeah. And it's really nerve-wracking for me because it's the first time I'm making sure that, that they're prepared for everything that's going to be thrown at them. It's a big responsibility. I'm really nervous. I mean, I love grading myself when I do it. It's a great experience, the challenge, but you're in full control. You know, if you have full control of when you train, what you put into your body, the amount of studying you do, the amount of time you commit to it, you have full control over that. When it's your own students, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Luckily, I have some very willing students to drink the water. and they're all working really hard at the moment.
Very hydrated.
Very hydrated with information and knowledge and power that will hopefully get them through their black belt. And I can't wait. I'm so psyched to have, these people that come to me and got through and now they're a black belt would be astonishing. And it's amazing people, I consider all of them, they're my Taekwondo students, but we have that kind of relationship, but you spend that amount of time with people and they become your friends, whether people sort of question, they shouldn't be your friends with their students, stuff like that, but I think if you're a nice person, you're spending that amount of time with people, like, they're going to become, I consider them friends, and so seeing them make that achievement and knowing that it was, me that made it possible for them, I just can't wait. So if anyone has any tips, experienced Taekwondo instructors that have black belts of their own come through with any tips and ideas for me, then, send them through. But it's very humbling in a way that these people have kind of come for and they've committed to Taekwondo, and it makes it sound cultish to me, but to have that trust that I've been providing the information that they think is worthy enough for them to put themselves through that kind of turmoil to try and prove themselves, that's that's really cool.
Yeah.
And what Taekwondo is about, and I know that they'll come through stronger, better people for going through it, because the gradings are tough, they are hard on you, emotionally, probably more than physically actually. The physical side of it's not the problem, it's them keeping your head together and the butterflies controlled, and just making sure you're at your peak and you're showing them and performing the best that you possibly can is a lot of work, and yes, you can do a grading where you don't show your best or yourself to your full potential, but I think you only do that once, if you do it once and you pass, but you know that you could have done a lot more, it doesn't have the same feel to it, it's still great, but when you put your absolute everything to it and you put your heart out there and on the line, it, and in a way it almost makes the result slightly more irrelevant You think, you know what, I've been through and I've done it. Like, I've put myself through that and I gave my all to it. Whether it was good enough this time or not, it doesn't matter quite so much. But yeah, and let us know if you're about to take a black belt grading, or you've got one coming up soon. You know, and you want to let us know how you're feeling, how you're preparing, or you want any tips or advice from either us or the Taekwondo community, obviously other than your instructor, because your instructor has been there and done it. They've been through what you've done, so you know, and they know you, so they're the perfect person to help you get through that. But you know, if anyone wants to share any willing advice for potential black belt holders, I guess, then let us know, and you. We'll be able to do that possibly through our forum on our website. Ooh. Which should be ready to launch this week. I know I kind of said that last week, but I've had a lot on. But it's looking good. Have I shown it to you?
No, no, I haven't seen it.
I'll show it to you after that. Okay. It's good, but yeah, it should be ready to go live. And you'll be able to do things like so we've got the forum on there, so you'll be able to, you know, start a talking subject. And if you like, and staying true to the name, Talk TKD, which would be good. There'll also be links to obviously Chugoro Super Fight Series, Snap Me Happy, so you can just check out our website later in the week, I'll let you know. And you'll be able to click for a link, it'll go straight to the book form. You say, okay, I'm having this event, then what can you do for me? And they'll be able to message you back saying, it's free, we can do this, or, you know, if it's, they do things like weddings, birthdays, and stuff like that, things that aren't sport or martial art related as well, and obviously if they're not, then they'll arrange, an event fee for them just to come and take the photos for you and give them to you afterwards. They're very reasonably priced, and obviously, but for, as instructors and people that hold events, not only are they free, but you can profit from that. So, you know, yeah, if you're holding a tournament, go to the website, tell them you came through us, and they'll come to you for free, and they'll possibly give you a bigger percentage of the sales if you mention Talk TKD. So make sure you do that.
Okay.
Happy days.
Happy days.
Mm. So, 1 week to go.
Yeah.
What's your plan?
My plan is to work until kind of middle of this week, because the tournament starts on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be kind of training moderately hard up until Wednesday. And then I'll just be keeping my limbs loose, a lot of stretching, just throwing my limbs about, make sure there's blood pumping through my legs, and, you know, so they don't become too static. And then, yeah, my weight's looking fine. I'm fighting under 85 and I'm weighing in at 85.5, so, you know, I'm perfect at the moment.
So was I. I was 78.4.
Yeah.
Hang on. Happy days.
Yeah.
Much better than Holland.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, it's all looking good.
Excellent. Yeah. And when you say training, what kind of training? You'll be doing big, heavy sparring sessions?
No, just kind of stuff by myself. I'll do a bit of, my legs are pretty knackered at the moment, so I'll do a bit of upper body tonight and tomorrow. Mm. I will, do stuff like that. And then I'll just kind of flick my legs out, have a nice, nice long warm-up so I don't pull any muscles or do myself any injuries, and just throw a few rising kicks, a few crescent kicks and stuff, just get my legs stretching, do some side rising kicks, some back ones, just kind of going through the planes of motion with my hips and, you know, loosening off everything. Nice. And that's what I'll be doing for the rest of the week, really.
Yeah, so yeah, this is the hard work's already done. It's just keeping yourself fresh. I'll probably work through to about Friday, and yeah, mostly gym work. We're really lucky. We've got a great gym, my gym, Bristol, in St. Paul's, close to the centre. Google them; it's really good. If you're a martial artist, there's a gym, but there's mats and stuff like that. So when there aren't classes on, you can stretch out and do some bag work, and I get that they've got an agility ladder, I do that, they've got resistance bands, they do a bit of that, along with the normal treadmill and free weights and machines and stuff like that. So I'm going to be spending quite a few of the afternoons just in there, just as you say, nice and light, just light bag work, etc. Just maintenance work, just keeping the cardio constant, but not pushing it too hard, not pushing myself too hard,
I think I'm at a good weight where I can carb load properly, and I can eat healthily, and I can step on the scales confident, and not dehydrated, not hanging. So I think I'm okay to almost pile on the carbs.
It's a nice place to be, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's I've been sort of looking at a few studies about dehydration and brain trauma, and pretty much most deaths in the ring happen because the person's too dehydrated, or they dehydrate themselves too much for the weigh-in and didn't replace the minerals and stuff like that, and but almost like the cushioning in your brain, and that's how people die. Definitely you always want to be in a position where you're comfortable, that you're gonna make your weight without having to take too much water out, and I timed it quite badly in Holland. Like, I'm pretty good at it these days, like I get it right, but occasionally it's not too bad, occasionally it goes, I time it wrong and you slip up and stuff. And in Holland I was doing Epsom salt baths the night before to try and make my weight, dehydrated myself fully. And then I had to set the alarm for, every hour, leading into like 2 a.m. of, the day before the tournament, to make sure I woke up to have water and food inside of me, which obviously is not ideal. And then the next day I lost in the second round. So, definitely, all the competitors out there, don't just do it like coaches nag about it, making your weight and stuff like that, and you think, you need to be sort of the bigger end of your weight category, but do it well in advance. Do it so that your body is that weight, rather than just trying to cut all the water out and relying on pulling it all back in, because it's a lot of trauma for your body, and doing that and then doing a combat sport where you're getting kicked and punched in the face is dangerous. It is dangerous, and you can lose a hell of a lot more brain cells and do yourself damage. Definitely, I'm glad my weight's good. I'm not too close. I can eat regularly and not panic and not have to dehydrate myself fully. I mean, obviously the World Championships, is the weigh-in's normally a day, at least sometimes 2 days before you have to fight. So you can miss a meal or two, like not drink for like half a day and stuff like that, and then put it all back on easily without, your body stomach cramping up and stuff like that, the next day, which is definitely more ideal, and will help you perform better as well. So whether it's grading or whatever, just don't dehydrate yourself too much, please. For me, for Phil, for us, just don't do it. Eat sensibly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's about us for episode 4.
Episode 4, God, cracking up.
Yeah, getting the episodes out there, which is good. I hope you all enjoy it. The amount of downloads and stuff like that is going well. Each episode's growing, the audience is growing. If you did enjoy the podcast, please do spread it out, share it on Facebook, Twitter and stuff like that. Get it out there and spread the word, and the more people we have interacting with us and make a bigger community, the better and the more fun it is, and the more connected the world can be. The Taekwondo world, connected. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Try and make it sound like a, I don't know, telephone advert or something.
Yeah.
Vodafone. Stay connected.
For our viewers who aren't aware, next week we're doing a naked podcast. So, you know...
I was not aware of this either.
Were you not? I'm just trying to get the viewers up.
You're trying to get the viewers up?
Yeah. Shh.
By us being naked?
Yes.
I don't think that'll work. I think that might scare off a lot of people.
Okay, we'll have a special guest or something like that.
That would be a better idea. Maybe, okay. Yeah, we can have a guest.
Can have a guest, okay.
And keep our clothes on.
Can we have a naked guest?
Maybe we could have a naked guest.
Yes.
No. If anyone's interested in coming on talking to us live on the podcast and on the YouTube videos, then... you know, if you've got something you want to talk to us about, then please get in contact. Let us know. The website will be up, but you can contact us. Phil Whitlock, TKD, hotmail.co.uk. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. I haven't used the Twitter so much, so Facebook is better. But you can contact us and spread the Taekwondo love. That's what we're about, really. Spreading the Taekwondo love.
Yeah.
'Cause I like it. I like it. I might stick with this. Anyway, I hope you're all well, alive and kicking, and keep kicking. Ciao from me.
Bye from me.